it's really about who can sort of minimize the mistakes and make the least amount of mistakes and just sail a really smart series.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Hello there, you're welcome along to Wednesday evening's Off the Ball. Joe Malloy with you. We've a lot going on this evening. We have ourselves the first Irish medal of the Tokyo Games. Very happy to say the rowers delivering for us. So well done to Afra Kyo, Emer Lam, Fiona Murta, and Emily Hegarty. It's a big deal. These four women join a very exclusive list. Before this morning, just 28 Irish people in history had Olympic medals, and now we can make that 32. So congrats to all four. We are going to talk to three-time Olympian Niall O'Toole, obviously a rower, about their performance, and also to Sheila Lam, who is mother to Emer. So that is on the way just after 9 o'clock on our Olympic show. Also, if you hadn't heard today, a legend in his own time retires. Joe Canning has called it a day. He's going to continue club action with Portumna, but his Galway days sadly are over. We'll chat to Liam Griffin and to Michael Dignan this hour. And then ahead of the second test against South Africa on Saturday, Ron Nagara is with us after 8 o'clock. 53106 is the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. Really nice show there. Richie McCormick, hello to you. We'll get to Richie in just 1 second. Nathan Murphy, hello to you.
Hello, Joe. I'm here, Joe. Don't you worry.
Don't do that to me. That felt too real for about 2 seconds there. So,
hey, Joe, it could be worse, Joe. It could be worse. Remember, no matter how bad things go this evening, you could have one of the greatest, arguably the greatest hurler of the modern age on the show and not get the exclusive.
Well, listen, this is what I want to talk to you about. These are tough times in OTB Towers. We're in mourning. There's going to be 7 days of black clothing only, because today not a good day. Not a good day for OTB Towers. So Joe Canning, I mean, prodigy. He is a genius. Back-to-back minor All-Irelands. Under 21 in 07. He won the Fitzgibbon with Limerick IT in 07. He won 4 All-Irelands with Portumna. 2017 All-Ireland with Galway. And also he was just, you know, a bit more than that as well. 5 All-Stars, Hurler of the Year. He is the all-time championship top scorer. He has passed Henry Shefflin's record just at the weekend. He has the most sideline cuts in history as well in a championship with 28. By the way, next closest to him is 9. So he had 4 in one game, you remember, last year in the All-Ireland semi-final. So he is, as we know, legend in his own time, like one of those marquee players that we'll talk about in 20, 30, 40 years and beyond. So Liam Griffin and Michael Dignan are going to join us and put Joe Canning into some kind of context for us and just celebrate what a brilliant player he was being. So Nathan, you alluded to it. Joe Canning, an exclusive interview first thing this morning. He hadn't been anywhere else. He was on OTBAM. He was talking to our very own Sheehan, and own in his own magical way decided to get deep into Joe Canning to bring people the exclusive. So here it is, Nathan. Here is Joe Canning this morning talking to our own Sheehan, announcing his retirement to the world. Have a listen.
Is there any question, Joe, about you coming back next year?
Yeah, I think I've heard a good bit over the last couple of days. All right, I think James Cahill, I think, was on your show telling me nearly time to retire. So if you listen to everybody, some people tell me, yeah, retire. Some people tell me not. So we'll leave it for another day. And, you know, I don't know. It's funny. I don't think I'm the same age as a few lads in other counties, and they don't get asked this question. So it's funny how other people want to kind of retire at some stage. So I haven't made Anton yet, you know.
So there you go, everyone. You heard it here first. Joe Canning not retiring. If you're only an OTB listener and you don't listen to any other media, Nathan, that's pretty much the deal.
Oh, Joe, what have you done to us? I won't repeat my words when I saw the news break at around about lunchtime.
Yeah. Well, personally, I blame the interviewer. I didn't think the way the question was asked was ever going to get Joe to open up there. I think that ultimately the shame lies with one man and one man only here. That is Eoin Sheehan. I take it you agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, Joe, I think we can both agree that if it was a Wednesday evening, if it was a Thursday evening and off the ball, the exclusive would be there. Like this would be talked about on all staff calls as how did the lads get the greatest GAA player of his generation to open up in such a way? But listen, that's Eoin. He's, you know, his head is probably in Kerry. His head is in David Clifford. He's not really that bothered about the hurling right now. And Joe could see that. I suspect Joe just thought, this guy, he doesn't deserve it.
Come here. I don't blame Sheehan. He's doing his best. It's just, it was so obvious he wasn't listening. He wasn't interested. It was like, oh, Joe, you're retiring. Then he gets his phone out and he starts scrolling through stuff. It's just, I mean, I don't want to say it's typical Sheehan, but it didn't surprise me. I would put it to you, Nathan.
Well, it does make me wonder what else we missed.
What?
Like, what else have we missed? Shane Lowry was on this morning.
Yeah.
Like, you could set your alarm for 3 a.m. to watch Shane Lowry, and he may have decided not to play in the golf. But, you know, is he going to tell Eoin? Is Eoin going to ask the right question?
Would you tell Eoin? I wouldn't tell Eoin.
I don't know. It's a setback. The review, Eoin's review is going to be interesting.
It sure is. Look, tune into OTBAM where you might get the news, but you know, yeah, you mightn't.
Yeah, tune in again in the evening where, you know, we'll tell you all the things that have happened since.
Yes, that's
he
a new
decided
slot
to tell everybody
that's
else.
A new slot. Things OTBAM missed this morning that we can tell you about now. Genius.
Things they forgot to ask.
Here, listen, let's bring in our first guest, Eoin Sheehan. Hello.
Good evening, gents. How are you?
Even you had to laugh, I presume, my man.
Oh, my God. Imagine. So Nathan won't be saying on air tonight what he said when he saw the headlines. Imagine what I said when I saw the headlines earlier on that Joe Canning was gone. Like, I mean, listen, there's a reason why there's three of us in this conversation and one of us is not an Imro Radio Award winner. I need to go to the Joe Malloy and Nathan Murphy School for Kids Who Can't Broadcast Good.
Oh, man. You were, like, just so unlucky. It's too funny. He said himself, I think, after it was almost after doing the interview and then realizing he had a bunch more media to do, like, actually, I can't lie all the way through here. So you kind of softened him up for everyone.
Well, thank you for looking on it positively. Are we that bad that we literally retired and we walked away and it was like, I just can't do this anymore. I just cannot deal with these Egypts anymore. I need to walk away from it. It truly is a historical way to influence somebody by literally ending their career.
Joe had told all his teammates in the dressing room after the defeat on Saturday. So any of those players who were listening in must have been a little bit confused.
It's true.
I heard Joe also. Joe also told the delivery guy that came to his house. And so, there's pretty much no one he hadn't told over the last 48 hours.
If I just Googled Joe Canning, it would have been plastered everywhere. He was like, I'm going to play along with this guy who has not done his research whatsoever.
I love how Joe Canning went so far as to then get annoyed that people were questioning whether or not he should retire when he's already retired. How dare anyone suggest that I, at 32, don't have three or four more years in me, even though I don't believe it myself?
Yeah. James Skell obviously had retired Joe, and I was looking at the passes on Saturday, and I was like, this is how Joe Canning is going to reinvent himself. It's become an incredibly physical sport. He's been going since 2007, 2008 at senior level. So the reinvention of Joe Canning is here. That's what I was thinking at 10 a.m. this morning, and then boom, push notification, he's retired, and I was like, okay, right, gotta park that.
So what can we expect over the next couple of days? I understand Paul O'Connell, the great Paul O'Connell, the future of Irish coaching is on Off the Ball tomorrow. Like, did you ask him about the Irish coaching job, if it's something he'd like to do in the future, or, you know, should we check out some other websites tomorrow afternoon to see what the crack is?
I heard he's
Paul O'Connell is involved in the Irish coaching ticket, is he?
I heard he's been announced as Munster head coach tomorrow, and I presume, is that what you're talking to him about?
Yes. Okay. Right. This is a bit of a problem, I see. So Google is your best friend.
Listen, you're a good man to come on. That was just really, really, really unlucky. It's one of the more unlucky examples I've ever come across.
Well, thank you for painting it as unlucky. I do appreciate it. It was a very, very unusual afternoon. And congratulations to Joe on his retirement. I'm looking forward to the tribute on the show later.
Well, listen, it's coming your way. Owen Sheehan, good man. We'll hear from you tomorrow. Paul O'Connell tomorrow.
Paul O'Connell tomorrow, and we will have plenty of roaring reaction. I think I can spot a gold or a silver medal when I see one, but I'm not 100% sure. But we will have Adrian Barry with us as well tomorrow morning to properly steer the ship, as hopefully there is an actual medal of maybe gold colour to celebrate tomorrow morning.
Well, that sounds good. So 7:30, all our social channels. Owen Sheehan, good man. Thank you for coming on. You're a gent. Good man.
Cheers.
All right. That is Owen Sheehan. Tough scenes, Nathan. You hate to see it.
Oh, yes. Wow. God, I'm just glad it wasn't me.
Oh, there for the grace of God.
But I fully believe Joe, because I thought it was a really interesting interview in that, we're well used to interviewing players in the days and weeks after a big defeat and a hugely disappointing defeat. And I've rarely seen an intercounty player as down in the dumps as Joe Canning seemed to be, hugely affected by the manner of the loss to Waterford. And part of me felt, even when the retirement announcement came out, before I'd heard that he told the players, was he almost overreacting, that this was such a difficult day that give it a little bit of time, a bit of breathing space, maybe he'll come back. But by the sounds of everything that's come out, this has been not just days, weeks, maybe months in the planning, that his body, what he has gone through over the course of 17, 18 years has just become too much. He outlined some of that even in the past week. We saw what happened to him on Saturday wasn't really right. And he's gone through that from a young age. I remember I worked in Galway FM for a number of years, just as Joe Canning was making the breakthrough, and the savagery of the Galway hurling championship when he was 16, 17, 18 years of age. I think it was the 06 final against Loughrea, where as a 17-year-old, he is right in the centre. There's a picture in the front of all the local newspapers on the Tuesday with a player basically with his foot by his helmet, flat out prone on the ground. He was playing men's hurling, going up against experienced players from a very young age. So while it feels like it's very young for him to be retiring, I think he has put his body on the line for so long. There's probably not much more he can give.
It's the 18th year of senior hurling, if you include Portumna from the age of 15, yeah. I did, as you mentioned already, I did also enjoy the GAA speak. It illustrated the sensitivity all sports people have, as in he obviously heard James Cahill saying, I wonder will Joe Canning retire him, and it irked him. And so we heard him there say, and some lads had almost had me retired, the likes of Cahill, I heard him. And then he also had to catch himself and realise, hang on though, I have actually retired myself, so but I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about Cahill all the same. Oh dear.
Oh yeah.
Richie McCormick, you had some technical issues. You missed the Owen Sheehan bonanza there. It was very enjoyable.
Oh, I caught him, the poor devil. I really felt bad for him, because I genuinely thought when I saw the announcement from Joe that he was saving it for, some kind of sponsor gig, and that he kayfabed us at the expense of taking the almighty dollar. But no, to be fair to him, he actually he fronted up to it and he said, listen, I should have told the lads.
Sorry,
it was wrecking my head.
Don't feel sorry for Sheehan. If that happened to you, he'd have a mini docu-series about the whole thing the next day. The what went wrong. So we need to kick on before the clock comes against us. Michael Dignan and Liam Griffin coming your way this hour, talking Joe Canning. The news round is brought to you by Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. And of course, Richie, you are starting with bronze medal for Ireland.
The president, Michael D. Higgins, has led the tributes to Ireland's first medalists of Tokyo 2020. Just before 2 a.m. this morning, Afric Kyo, Emer Lam, Fiona Murta and Emily Hegarty secured bronze in rowing's women's four. They became the first Irish women to win any rowing medal for Ireland at the Olympic Games. The lightweight men's double sculls duo, Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy, won their semi-final overnight, and their final is in the water at 1:50 a.m. Irish time, so the same time essentially as last night for the women's four. The women's pair of Aileen Crowley and Monica Ducard go in their B final before that, having failed to progress from their semis overnight. The lightweight women's double sculls of Eva Casey and Margaret Kremen are also in B final action.
Yeah, we are going to talk to Sheila Lamb, who's mother to Emer, and obviously delighted watching on at home just after 9 o'clock. We'll play that interview. We've spoken to her already. We've also spoken to Niall O'Toole, three-time Olympian, and knows the Lamb family. He was there. They all watched a commercial rowing club where Emer started, and her sister Claire, obviously a rower as well at Rio 5 years ago. So we'll play that after nine. Obviously, they're all just delighted and thrilled. And what freaked me out more than anything, Nathan, is Niall O'Toole previewing the men's final this evening with Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy. I mean, he even acknowledged that he felt bad saying this, and this is just a very un-Irish thing in any Olympic event, but he said the two lads are raging hot favourites. The Germans, he said, will try and get out ahead early, but they just won't be able to stop the Irish powering through. And it just gave me the heebie-jeebies when he talked with such confidence. But that sounds like we really are looking at a great chance of a goal tonight.
There's like a Sonia 96 fear that somebody is going to come out of nowhere and crush our dreams again. Cathal Dennehy, when he was on ahead of the Olympics, I think maybe talking to you, Richie, was saying, you know, have we ever had a favourite like these two guys? And obviously, I think Katie in 2012, maybe there was a little bit of a sense of the unknown because it was the first time women's boxing was in the Olympics. And also, there's judges involved, something can go wrong. That actually, these two are as nailed on for a gold medal as Ireland has ever, ever had. So it is worth staying up for or getting up early for, because, you know, these moments are incredibly, incredibly rare. And just because it's late at night doesn't mean we shouldn't try and savour it. You just hope that everything goes okay.
That struck me totally. Like, I get not wanting to sacrifice your entire next day by not sleeping, but if you want to see a gold won in real time, who knows when it may happen in your lifetime again. We only have 28 people before this morning in our history who have medals, and fewer still who have gold. So this may be a chance to see a bit of history. It does seem as well, Paul O'Donovan, and I've said it before on the show, he is without question the most underrated Irish sports person out there. He is probably, said Niall O'Toole, the best rower in the world. If he's in the boat, it transforms it. And obviously Fintan McCarthy, brilliant as well. So and he's training to be a surgeon in his spare time, you know, just to give himself something to do. So extraordinary. So fingers crossed this evening that we're talking about that tomorrow morning on OTB AM. Richie, Kurt Walker surprised everyone.
He did. He has the chance to secure at least a boxing bronze on Sunday morning. He'll face the brilliantly named American Duke Reagan in the featherweight quarterfinals following an impressive win this morning over Uzbekistan's Mirzizbek Mirzakhalilov. But Aoife O'Rourke lost her middleweight last 16 contest to a former world champion, Xian Li of China. That was on a unanimous decision. That meeting of Reagan and Walker, by the way, the first meeting on Olympic stage of Ireland versus Billy Walsh.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll preview those that fight after 9 o'clock, and we'll also look at Kelly Harrington's one as well. So that's on the way after nine. Bit of boxing, plenty of rowing. That's all on the way in our Olympic show.
Yeah. A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
Pat Nguyen says he has no regrets about his Olympic experience. He died with his boots on today, the Dubliner losing by 2-1 to the men's 10 seed Wang Tsui-wei, and misses out on a place in badminton's last 16. Nguyen says he'll use this week's experience for future Olympics. Mon McSharry set a new Irish record in the 200 metre breaststroke heats. The Sligo woman swam 2 minutes 25.08 seconds in finishing second in her heat. That sadly wasn't enough for progress to the semi-finals. Robert Dixon and Sean Wadlove are in 11th place after their first four races of Sailing's 49er event. The Sevens rugby team finished in 10th position following a 22-0 defeat to Kenya, while Megan Fletcher's campaign in the judo was ended by a loss to Austria's Michaela Polarez in the round of 32. And the Olympic odysseys of Rory McIlroy and Shane Larry begin overnight. Larry was asked by the intrepid journalism team on OTB AM this morning about the importance of competing in Tokyo on this morning's show.
We're proud golfers, we want to go out and compete, and we want to do our best, and we want to shoot our best scores. So, you know, whether it be a British Open or a you know, a Masters or an Olympics, we want to go out and win the tournament. So we're all here now. And like you said, look, golf's a funny one because, you know, it's not, you know, the other athletes that I spoke to in the village, they've been training for 5 years for this. And it's like, you know, and you see them getting knocked out and you see how dejected they are. And, you know, for us golfers, it's not that it's just another week, but it's, you know, it's another big week in our calendar. We've got a lot of big weeks in our calendar every year. And this for us is obviously a huge week, and it's a huge week for me. And like I keep saying, I'd love to win a medal here, and I'd give anything to bring a medal home to Ireland, you know, because I'm here now. But people were asking me about the Olympics 3 weeks ago when I'm going to prepare for the Open, and I'm like, you know, I'm not thinking about the Olympics. I'll be thinking about it when I get to it, but I don't think about the Olympics, and you don't think about tournaments until you get to it. It's like if I'm 3 weeks before the Masters, I don't think about the Masters because I have other tournaments to think about and stuff to do. So, but now that I'm here, I ultimately want to win a medal, and I want to, you know, I want to go out there for my family and my friend, my town and my county and my country. I want to go out and try and bring a medal back to everyone. I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, 4-day stroke event. So, I mean, it's very similar to most tournaments they play. Nathan, this was always going to be a sleeper medal chance when you have Lowry there, who's in very good form, by the way, and McIlroy, who's McIlroy, although not in great form. I mean, and limited field, you know, only 4 Americans are sent over. So, like, this is a genuine medal chance here.
Absolutely. It's the limited field what makes it such an opportunity for somebody like Shane Lowry. You know, he I think he was really honest there in acknowledging that it's not the be-all and end-all. And maybe then that's reflected in the field that's there. There's only 3 of the world's top 10 in the field because of the limit of a maximum of 4 Americans. John Rahm is out with COVID. Dustin Johnson decided not to go. Koepka decided not to go. An awful lot of players have decided this isn't for us. So you're looking at, like, Colin Morikawa is the favorite for this, the new Open champion. You've got Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Matsuyama, McIlroy. And aside from that, you'd really be looking at Lowry as next in line. And there's something special about Shane Lowry and his career and his ability for things to just work out at the right time for him, to win your home tournament as an amateur, to win the Open on Irish soil. I always just believe there's something in Shane Lowry that you wouldn't be surprised if he turned up with a gold medal, and what it would mean to him to do that and to achieve that. And it probably needs a Shane Lowry type. Yeah. It will mean a lot to elevate this to another level. Even McIlroy, people want to get into a debate about it. I'm not quite sure. You know, it would mean different things to both of them for winning it, for McIlroy and for Lowry. But for golf, which McIlroy is there for, I think they need, again, another big winner, another big name winner. But yeah, the limited field, 60 players, really, you're down to probably 20 of them have a chance of winning. An interesting one, I don't know if you're reading this, Sung Jae-im and Siwoo Kim-jo, the 2 South Koreans who pulled out of the Open to focus on this, because unless they win a medal, national service awaits.
Wow.
2 years of it.
You're kidding.
2 years of it. So that goes for pretty much all the male South Koreans who are competing at the Olympics. It was a similar scenario for Heung-min Son a few years ago, where unless they won the Asian Games, he would have to go through it. So Sung Jae-im, who is one of the best young talents in golf, if he doesn't medal at these Olympics, is going to have 2 years away from the game for national service.
Can he defer his national service till he's retired?
I don't think so, no. Oh, you have to have it done by the time you're 28.
Oh, what else can you do to avoid it?
I think it's from an athlete's point of view, it is win an Olympic medal, win an Asian Games, or win a World Cup.
Oh, extraordinary. Wow. No pressure over that 4-footer to win.
Bring it in here.
Wow. That's amazing. I hadn't heard that. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, that's a different level of patriotism.
McIlroy thinks he's stressed about the games.
Yeah. I've mixed emotions. I'd love to see Rory win it. In a way, I almost hope he doesn't. And the awkwardness and the questions and the flag waving and the flag wrapping that is going to ensue. Like, he's in a no-win scenario if he actually goes and lifts the gold medal. Somebody's going to be annoyed with him.
Well, somebody's always annoyed with someone. But I take your point. Seamus Coleman then, Rich, last couple of stories.
Yeah, he signed a new one-year contract at Everton, the Republic of Ireland skipper. His new new contract will see him remain at Goodison Park until the summer of 2023. Coleman has racked up 350 appearances for Everton following his move from Sligo, which is now 14 years ago. Celtic are looking to progress to the third qualifying round of the Champions League tonight. There was a 6:45 start tonight in Denmark, where it remains Michelin 0, Celtic 0. 5 minutes to go to half time in that one. They'll play either the winners of that one, PSV Eindhoven or Galatasaray, in the third qualifying round. That one kicked off a few minutes ago. And plans for the long-awaited redevelopment of Casement Park have finally been given formal approval. The North's Infrastructure Minister, Nicola Mallon, confirmed the news that the planning process had reached a successful conclusion. No timescale, though, has been put on construction, with the new stadium expected to cost €130 million. Casement last hosted a game 8 years ago and has since fallen into a pretty ugly state of disrepair.
There's a text in here saying, sorry lads, what is that about Paul O'Connell being named Munster head coach tomorrow? Oh good God, no. It's a joke. I won't explain everything, but that was a joke. That's not happening. I can imagine you turning on the radio and us breezily mentioning that, and it might have seemed slightly concerning, but no, that's not happening. To the best that we know of. I mean, who knows? Who knows? After today, I'm shook. Anything can happen next. Nathan Murphy, thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Richie McCormack, as ever, cheers.
Nice one, lads.
We have the great Liam Griffin and Michael Dagnan coming your way. But first, competition time. Yeah, we're giving away another £5,000 as part of our bank holiday bonus. It's been running all week. So earlier on, Sharon French from Wexford picked up the cash.
I can tell you, Sharon, that we have picked your number at random. And Sharon, I can also tell you that you answered your phone within five rings. And Sharon, I can also tell you that you've answered the question correctly. So
oh
Sharon, I'll tell you, you won €5,000!
Oh my God, thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
I've entered it for the last three mornings.
Well, there
oh my
you
God,
go.
I can't believe it.
Good stuff. So, another €5,000 to give away tomorrow. We'll ask you a question. You have until 5 o'clock to answer. If you answer correctly, we could be calling you on the hard shoulder just like that shortly after 5 o'clock. Answer within five rings and you could win today's bank holiday bonus. If you don't get, if we don't get an answer rather, then the cash rolls over. So, very simple. To be in with the chance of winning, just tell us which Irish actor has played James Bond. A, Colin Farrell, or B, Pierce Brosnan. Text the word play followed by A or B. So it's A, Colin Farrell, or B, Pierce Brosnan. Send it to 57599. Entries €2.50 plus your standard message rate. You're playing across the GoLad network and you'll find full terms and conditions on newstalk.com. So the word play, A or B, to 57599 by 5 o'clock tomorrow for your chance to win all that cash. Then just stand by and answer just after five within five rings and the £5,000 bank holiday bonus could be yours. Short ad break. We're talking Joe Canning with Michael Dagnan and Liam Griffin next.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.